Good morning. In the month of January, we had a sermon series entitled Crossing the Threshold. And next month, in March, we're going to have a series called Prayers of the Bible. But this month, here in February, Pastor Chris and I didn't have any good ideas. So whenever that happens, we turn back to the lectionary. The lectionary is a series of Bible readings that runs in three-year cycles. And so it's something that a lot of different churches use. And around the country every week, churches that read from the lectionary are reading and preaching the same scripture passages together. And that's what we're going to be doing in these 4 months of February. But unlike a sermon series where each week relates to the one that came before it and builds on what has already been said, the lectionary carries us in all kinds of different directions. It can move from Moses to Jesus, over to the Apostle Paul, and back down to the book of Psalms. Sometimes it can feel a little bit disjointed from one week to the next, as if the different parts of the story don't quite all fit together. Well, that's how I felt when reading our New Testament passage for today from the Gospel of Mark. It's a story that begins with a healing and then has Jesus out praying by himself and ends with the disciples going with Jesus into the neighboring towns. It's a story in three parts, and none of them seem to fit together. It makes me wonder, what do these three have in common? What is the golden cord that binds them all to each other? Well, the one word that I think connects these three parts of our story today is vocation. Vocation. There are three lessons in our story. All of them are about vocation, or our calling from God to live as God's people in the world. And so each part of this story tells us one of these lessons for the morning. And we're going to explore this topic together today. And as we begin, let's pray. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So when I first read the Gospel of Mark story for today, about how Jesus heals Simon's mother-in-law, it got me thinking of an old Disney movie called Fantasia. Do you remember Fantasia? It came in 8 different parts, and each was set to a classical symphony piece. And the part that I remember best was called The Sorcerer's Apprentice, and it starred Mickey Mouse. Do you remember that one? In the movie, Mickey is hard at work as the apprentice for a powerful sorcerer. And Mickey's job is to bring buckets full of water from a well down, down, down all these stairs into a pool over where the sorcerer is working. But when his boss leaves the room to go and take a nap for a while, Mickey puts on the sorcerer's hat, and all sorts of things start to happen. He uses this new power to bring a broomstick to life, and this broomstick spouts arms, and he commands this broomstick to start doing his chores for him. And so the broomstick starts going back and forth carrying these buckets of water, which Mickey thinks is great. It's so great, in fact, that he settles down into a comfortable chair and he takes a nap. When he wakes up, Mickey discovers that this broomstick is very diligent and has been carrying water back and forth the whole time, so much that the room is starting to flood. It's filling up with water. So he tries to stop the broom from working, but he can't. It is just going back and forth, back and forth. And in a scary moment in the movie, Mickey takes an axe and he chops and chops and chops this broomstick into little bits to get it to stop working. But then, all of those little bits and pieces come to life as well. And they grow arms. And they pick up buckets. And they all start bringing this water. There's an army of broomsticks carrying water in, flooding the whole room. The situation gets totally out of hand, and Mickey nearly drowns before the sorcerer himself has to come back and save the day. So I'm thinking about this Disney movie when reading our Bible story today, because both of the stories are about someone using their powers to get someone else to work for them. Did you see that? In one case, it's Mickey Mouse, and in the other, it's Jesus. Jesus and his friends have come to Simon's mother-in-law's house, and they've been looking forward to an evening of hospitality and home cooking. Simon's been telling them about his mother-in-law, the world-famous chef, and Jesus is looking forward to that meatloaf. But when they get there, it turns out Simon's mother-in-law is sick. She's in bed with a fever. The house isn't cleaned, the table isn't set, and there's no meatloaf to be found. And so Jesus takes her by the hand, lifts her up, and her fever breaks. She's healed, and it says that she starts to serve them. But here is where the stories of Mickey and Jesus diverge sharply, because unlike Mickey, Jesus isn't using his powers just to get someone else to do something for him, as if he had healed this woman just so she would cook him dinner. There's much more going on in this story than that. The word in Greek that is used here is diakonoi, which means to serve. And this is the word from which we get the word deacon. A deacon is a leader in the church. They are servant leaders, diakonoi. So another way to read the passage about Jesus' healing of this woman is that through this healing, she is enabled to take on her vocation as a servant leader. Through Jesus' healing, she comes to begin to serve, diakonoi, as a servant leader. You'll notice that the very next thing that happens in the story is that her house becomes a center for Jesus' healing ministry. It starts that night as people bring all the sick and those who are in need to her house. The Bible says the whole city was gathered around her door. The whole city was gathered around the door of this woman because it was in her house that Jesus was at work. Why was Simon's mother-in-law healed in this story? It was certainly not to play out a tired old gender role stereotype, but it was so that by God's blessing in her life, she could be a blessing to others. And this is the first lesson on vocation for us today, that our calling, our common Christian calling, is not to sit back in comfortable chairs or in uncomfortable pews and to say, aha, I've got mine, I've been blessed, I'm all set. But the lesson is that when Jesus comes to us, when he takes our hand, when he lifts us up, that we aren't just being healed, we are being called. We are called to give a faithful response with our lives for what Jesus has done for us. What has God done in your life, I wonder? How have you been blessed? Where have you been led or inspired, comforted or forgiven or healed? Take this lesson from an unnamed woman from 2,000 years ago, that when Jesus came into her home and into her heart and healed her, her faithful response was to join with Jesus and put her gifts into work for the sake of the kingdom. She could cook, she could keep house, she could welcome people in, and that's what she does. She starts right where she is, and she's using the gifts that God has given her. I wonder how this story helps you to think about your story. What is the giftedness that you already have that you might use to join with Jesus? How is God calling you to respond today? So back to the story. Jesus and his disciples and this woman, they're all in the house, and the Bible says it was sundown, and that the house was surrounded by all of those who were sick or possessed by demons. Sounds like a scene out of a horror movie. But Jesus does his thing. He gets right to work. Although he'd been looking forward to kind of a night off and spending some time with friends, he gets to work helping and healing all of those who came to see him. And this kind of thing happens all the time for Jesus. He has a vocation for teaching and preaching and healing. And so when people find out that he's around, they flock to him. They look for him. He's a man who's in demand. He's a person who's very busy. As word spread around Galilee about what Jesus was doing, more and more people came seeking after him. He's identified because of his vocation. I heard a story recently about a woman who won a bucket full of quarters playing slot machines in Atlantic City in a casino. Have you heard this story? Apparently, after she had a big bucket full of winnings, she wanted to take a break for dinner. And so she went over to the elevators to drop them off up in her hotel room. And as she was about to get on the elevator, she noticed there were already two African-American men, on the elevator. One of them was very large and intimidating. Her first thought, honestly, was, these people could rob me. They could take my coins. Then she thought, don't be racist, don't be silly. These are a couple of nice gentlemen. Of course I'll get on the elevator. But she had these stereotypes in her mind, and she was afraid. She didn't know what to do, and finally she forced herself to step onto the elevator. She stood stiffly and hugged the bucket of quarters to her chest as the doors closed in front of her. And then a second passed, and nothing happened. The elevator didn't move, and she started panicking and thought, I'm about to be robbed. I'm trapped. And just then, one of the men behind her said, hit the floor. And out of fear, she did. She threw her bucket up in the air, and she hit the floor. She jumped down. And another second passed, and the man said, ma'am, are you okay? When I said hit the floor, I was telling my friend here to hit the button for our floor in the hotel. I didn't mean for you to hit the floor. Well, she didn't know what to say, this woman. She was so embarrassed. And the men helped her pick up her coins, and she seemed a little unsteady on her feet, so they even walked her down the hall to her room. And as she went into her room and closed the door, she could hear them out in the hallway laughing and laughing at what had just happened. And the next morning, a bouquet of flowers was delivered to this woman's room, and in it was a dozen roses, and on each of the roses was wrapped a $100 bill. And there was a card attached to this bouquet of flowers, and it was signed, Eddie Murphy and Michael Jordan. Said, thanks for the best laugh we've had in years. Can you imagine? She wouldn't have recognized these two famous celebrities. These guys get recognized everywhere they go. As soon as they show up, they're recognized, and it immediately becomes work for them. Eddie, say something funny. Michael, can I have your autograph? Because they're so well known, their work follows them home. This happens for us in a lesser way. This happened for Jesus. The needs that came along for Jesus kept him from getting the kind of rest that he knew he needed. Which leads us to our second point for the morning about vocation. And here it is. If we're going to maintain our energy and our vision and our strength to live as God's own people in the world, then we need to take time to rest and to be renewed by God. Mark's gospel says that in the morning, while it was still very dark, Jesus got up, went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. As a teacher and preacher and healer, Jesus had a lot of things he had to get done. And as a teacher or a doctor or a business person or an office worker or a caregiver or a student or a parent, you and I have a lot of things we've got to get done. But the lesson from Jesus is that in order to really live our vocation as God's people in all these different areas of life, we need to take a break. You need to take a break. The prophet Isaiah writes, even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. If we're going to live our vocation, which is to mount up on wings like eagles in the classroom or in the clinic, with our coworkers or our children, in our homes and our neighborhoods, if we're going to live out that vocation, then we need time to rest, to be renewed, to wait for the Lord in prayer or in worship, in reading or in recreation. Lesson one is that we are blessed to be a blessing to others, and lesson two is that if we're going to take care of others, we also need to slow down sometimes to take care of ourselves, in our bodies, and our minds, and our spirits. I wonder what it would look like for you to take some time this week, some time away, to rest and be renewed, to wait for the Lord, to renew your strength in some way. And I wonder as well if there's someone in your life you can think of, husbands and wives, I'm thinking of you here, who you can give permission to, you can let have that kind of time so that they can be renewed as well. So that's where Jesus was. He was out praying by himself, being renewed in his spirit. And the disciples come looking for him. When they find him, they say, Jesus, everyone is looking for you. What are you doing? And he's ready to go again. He says, let's keep going. Follow me. We're going to keep going into the neighboring town so I can proclaim my message there as well, because that is why I have come. And so his disciples go with him. And that is the third lesson about vocation for this morning. Our calling as disciples, and especially as a church, a group of disciples all together, is to do this exact thing, to look for Jesus and then to go where he is going. To look for Jesus and then to go where he is going. This is the exciting thing about talking about vocation, that God in Christ is doing a new thing out there in the world, and that our calling as we seek to follow Jesus, even into unexpected places and with people we wouldn't have thought of otherwise, our calling is to be like these disciples in this story. Our vocation, whether we live it out in a classroom or a boardroom or a living room, is to go with Jesus and to join in his mission and ministry in the world. So as you consider your own vocation or calling today as someone who seeks to follow Christ in your life, I hope these three lessons about vocation might be helpful for you. First, that God's work in your life, God's blessing, God's healing, is meant to spark you toward helping and healing in other people's lives. Second, in order to care for other people, you also need to care for yourself and to find time to rest with God. And then third, as a church, we are called to look where Jesus is already at work and where he's going, so that we together may boldly and faithfully follow. Amen.